I'll go ahead and tell you this morning what I'm going to preach on. As I know, it's a lot. It's very strange, probably a bit out of the ordinary. I've got a bunch of statistics and stuff that I wrote down, and there's a lot of people say, "Well, you're writing your message out." No, I'm not writing my message out. Do I? Is it concerning to me whether or not you like it or not? Not really. I'm going to read it to you anyway. I do want to say this morning. I thought about this morning, and I prayed, and we spent the day yesterday at the aquarium with the kids and my mom, and I just got to studying and thinking about God's creation and how awesome of a God that we serve, and boy, I'm glad that He loved me. Amen. I'm glad that He first loved me. And I got to thinking about the body. And I hope and pray in my heart this morning that God will let me get this message across like He showed it to me last night. I laid in the bed till 2 o'clock this morning just crying. Just me and the Lord. I had my headphones in. I was listening to the Gaithers. And it's been a long time. You know, me and God, we talk a lot. And I hear a few times, and I try and scratch around and say, "You know what I'm talking about," but it's been a long time since I just got to sit in His arms. There's a difference. Amen. I thought about, you know, when my kids, or our kids, are crying, you know, and they always want mama or always want daddy, and it seems like nothing else will suffice. They can go to anybody else and they'll continue to cry, but when mama and daddy gets them, everything's okay. And I tell you what, I just love sitting in the arms of Jesus. Amen. I'm glad that He's bigger and better than I am. You pray for us this morning. Leviticus chapter 17, verse number 11, the scripture. I'm going to read just a few verses here and there. 17, verse 11, the Bible says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul." The blood. John chapter 4. St. John chapter 4, that is. Verse 13 and 14, the scripture reads, "Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give, or that I shall give him, shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." In John chapter number 6, verse 47. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." And we believe that that'd be all God have us to read in you here this morning. We had a text. We want to preach on the bread, the blood, and the water. And we pray that God add His blessing to the reading of His word. I have some things right here that I wrote down as I studied. And I tell you what, listen, I love to read. I do. I love to expand my knowledge. I know a lot of meaningless things that can help nothing, really. But I love it when God shows us something. And I thought about God's creation. I thought about this body. And I began to think about being born again. From a medical standpoint, what does it mean to be born again? It requires new blood, and it requires new water. It requires new bread. And I thought to myself, as I began to flip through the scripture, and I seen that Jesus is all these things. He is the sustainer of life. He gives us every single thing that we need to live. Jesus said in John chapter 3, as he conversed with Nicodemus, and Nicodemus came to him by night, and he said, "What must have?" The rich young ruler said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Nicodemus said, "How can I be born again?" Not why, but how. Amen. And I got to thinking about that text last night. God, how are we born again? I'm going to read you a bunch of useless facts. Did you know that your body is made up from 50 to 70% of water? Did you know that? If you're a man, typically you're on the 70%. If you're a woman, you're typically on the 55 to 60% range, depending on muscle tone and mass. See, I told you there was useless facts in here. Pretty much we are essentially water, John. Just water is all we are. 50 to 70% of our body mass on a median is about 60% is water. And listen to this. The human brain is made up of 95% water. Amen? We think with water. Now, our brain is 95% water, and we only use 10% of that 5% that is leftover mass. Amen? Imagine this. Adam had 100% brain functionality. That's something you never thought about, have you? Amen? We only use 10%. He used his whole mind because he used it before sin. But moving on. Our blood is 82% water. Our lungs are 90% water. And this is what when I started reading, and God really began dealing with my heart. A 2% drop in our body's water, listen to this, can trigger signs of dehydration, fuzzy short-term memory, trouble with basic math, a difficulty focusing on smaller print. Mild dehydration is also one of the most common causes of daytime fatigue. Amen. You don't need a 2 o'clock cup of coffee. You need a glass of water. An estimated 75% of Americans have mild chronic dehydration. And I know you think this is pointless, but just follow with me. What does water do? Water lubricates our joints. It regulates our body temperature. It removes harmful toxins from our body, and it transports valuable nutrients from our brain to our muscles to every fiber of our being. Caffeine does not hydrate us. Water does. A Coke does not hydrate us. Gatorade does not hydrate us. Water hydrates us. Amen. Listen to me. And I love this one right here. It says, if you're ever thirsty, you've waited too long to drink water. Now, these are what they tell us to do. They say, drink twice as much as it takes to quench your thirst. Boy, I don't know about you, but I want twice as much Jesus. Amen. I don't want to drink when I get thirsty. Amen. I'm glad that there is a well of water springing up into everlasting life that is on the inside of me. Amen. Listen, it says drink frequently through the day to prevent dehydration. Amen. Ain't you glad today that we can constantly approach the throne of God? The Bible said in Revelation, I'll finish this in a minute. The Bible said in Revelation 21 in verse number 1, it said, and I seen a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I want to stop and sit on that sea for just a minute, and I'll finish it in a second. But if you're reminded in Luke chapter 16, the Bible takes us and it tells us, it gives us an account. This is not a parable, amen? In Luke 16, it's not a parable. It's an account of Lazarus and the rich man. The Bible said that one thing, one commonality happened to both men. Hebrews 9:27, the Bible says that it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. What happened to these men? They both died. The Bible said that Lazarus carried, by the angels into the bosom of Abraham. The rich man died, lifted his eyes in hell. And the Bible said that there was a great gulf fixed. Amen. What does that mean? That means that it is locked in place. It cannot be moved, but it is there. It is not temporary, but it is permanent. The Bible said there was a great gulf fixed, and Lazarus was seen by the rich man laying in the bosom of Abraham, and he cried from the other side of the gulf, and he said, send Lazarus over that he may dip his finger in water that he may cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But I want you to focus your attention on the gulf. What is a gulf? It is a sea. What is in the sea is sin. Amen. Sin is what separates us from God. In Revelation 21, verse number 1, he said, I've seen a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Amen. You see, there is no more sin where I'm headed. Amen. And he said, and there was no more sea. And he said, I seen the new Jerusalem, the holy city, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Amen. What a beautiful picture and what a beautiful sight. Amen. And he said, behold, the tabernacle of God is now with men. Amen. And God shall be their people, and he shall be their God, and he will dwell with them, and he shall be their God, and he shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he said, behold, right. He said, behold, I make all things new. Amen. And he said, write these words, for they are true and they are faithful. Listen, and this is what I love. He that is athirst, let him come and drink of the fountain of the water of life freely. Woo! Listen, I'm glad today I've been saved, purged, sanctified, justified, and cleansed by the power of the cross. Amen. Boy, I'm glad I'm saved. And I thought about the water. Let me read this to you. Drink twice as much. Whew. Drink twice as much as it takes, whew, glory, to quench your thirst. Amen. In Revelation 22 and verse 1, I'll let you have this. You want it. Amen. In 22 and verse 1, the Bible said, and he showed unto me a pure river. A pure river. Clear as crystal. Proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Where is that river? I read it to you in John chapter 4. The woman, listen, the well, listen, is just a tap into the river. Amen. It's just a springhead. But I'm glad that the springhead, listen, that the water is still just as clear, just as clean, and just as pure. Amen. Drink twice as much as it takes to quench your thirst. I just can't get over that. I'm thirsty right now. Amen. My mouth, listen, I got cotton mouth right now, but listen, I'm full. Amen. Listen to that old, say, sing that old song, drinking from my saucer, Shannon, because my cup has overflown. Amen. Listen, it's running out of the saucer and on the table and running down the table leg this morning. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved. Drink frequently through the day to prevent dehydration. Amen. Ain't you glad that, Roger, no matter where we are, where we're at, listen, as I'm going up and down the road, as I laid in the bed last night, I'm listening to tears starting to run down my eyes and laying on the pillar. Friends, listen, that came from the water. Where did the water come from? It come from the river. Where's the river? He said, I put it inside you when you believed on me. Drink at least eight glasses of water. This is just a good health tip for you. Drink at least eight glasses a day, or one cup for every 20 pounds of body weight. Drink your water. It lubes your joints, regulates your body temperature, cleanses your blood. And now this is what I want to talk about. There's four parts to the human blood. There's plasma. 75% of plasma is water. The plasma moves the red, the white, blood cells and the platelets through the bloodstream. And in doing so, the plasma carries nutrients to the lungs. It speaks to our minds. It goes into our muscles. But I want you to understand something. The plasma in the blood is 75% water. So then we go to the red blood cells. What do the red blood cells do? Listen, I'm not no doctor by any means. Now, my wife is probably going to, I'm probably going to butcher this. But I know there's four parts, amen? The red blood cells that transform and go through our blood vessels, they are full of hemoglobin, which gives our blood the color to our blood, which is red. But the red blood cells, they go out and they provide our body with nutrients. See, the plasma is the slide, and the red blood cells is what supplies the good stuff. Amen? In layman's terms, the white blood cells, as they're contained in the blood, what do? They fight infection. And they go and they're transmitted throughout our body, and they destroy the diseases that so often frail us. Then you have the platelets, which I from a lot of reading, began to understand that platelets are basically just broken and unformed red and white blood cells. But what the platelets do is they control the coagulation. So when you cut yourself, listen, the platelets is what stops the bleeding. Amen? Because that's why everybody gets concerned when you're on blood thinners, your platelets too high, your platelets too low. And I never understood what they're talking about. Now I do. I hope you do. But I thought, as I began to study on the scripture, I went to John chapter, or little John chapter 1, verse number 7. He said, listen to this. He said, but if you love one another, he said, and we have fellowship with one another, he said, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. The blood cleanses us from all sin. In verse number 8, he said, if we say that we have no sin in us, we make him a liar, and the truth is not in us. In verse number 9, he said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? Friends, listen, those hot and haughty and mighty this morning, sitting with your back propped up, looking down your nose at me, I want to tell you something. Listen, you've got to get saved just like I did to go to heaven. I love you. Amen. But you know who's going to heaven? The saved people. You know who's going to hell? The lost people. You can only be one way or the other. Quit trying to make gray areas in the Scripture. Amen. It is what it is. John 3:16, the Bible said, "For God so loved the world." I've talked about this. The word world in the Greek is the Greek word cosmos. What does that mean? That means all the planetary systems, the first heaven, the second heaven, the third heaven. That contains all universes, all solar systems, all planetary things that we know, everything that is existent within this earth, all humanity, every man, woman, boy, and girl. The Bible said, "For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have obtained everlasting life." Amen. Don't tell me it's God's will for people to go to hell. That is exactly opposite of what Calvary done. And Jesus told Nicodemus, we talk about the water, we talk about the blood, we talk about, and I read this too, you know, white bread's useless. And that was pretty heartbreaking for me, John. Amen. Kenny, I love a turkey sandwich with fresh lettuce, mayonnaise, and mustard, and some jalapenos on that white, sticky, sun bean bread, don't you? Take a good bite and you gotta peel it off the roof of your mouth. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. The water is what we consist of. Jesus told him in John 6, he said, "Your fathers did eat the manna in the wilderness, but they're dead." He said, "I want you to eat the bread which I shall give." He said, "If you eat of the bread that I shall give, you shall never perish, but you shall have life everlasting." He said, "Eat of the body which is broken for you." Amen. "Drink of the blood which is spilled for you." Amen. When he was on Calvary, the Bible said that the soldier, let me back up for a minute. And I thought about this morning when Jesus, one of the seven utterances that he made was on the cross, was he said, "I thirst." Listen, we go back to the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed. He said, "Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." We go over to Matthew chapter 26. I believe it's around verse number 19. You'll say, well, the Bible said they offered him vinegar mingled with gall. And the Bible says that he turned it down. And one of the utterances from the cross was, "I thirst," right before he died. And I thought, "Lord, what was you so thirsty for?" Then I remembered the Sermon on the Mount, Shannon. He said, "Blessed are those which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Well, listen, for they shall be filled." He said, "I thirst." And the next thing he said, John, is, "It is finished." His thirsty quench was filled by the Holy Ghost. What was he thirsty for? He wasn't thirsty for water. He was thirsty for our righteousness. And God granted it. You see, he asked. He done exactly what he told us, John. He said, "Ask and you shall receive." Ain't you glad that it wasn't just a man, but it was a Savior who loved me, who loved you, who loved your children enough as he hung and love held him there? Ain't you glad that he declared, "I thirst"? He wasn't thirsty for what man could provide, but he was thirsty for the righteousness that he wanted to give us. And I thought about this and I said, "Lord, that's great. And man, that's good. But when God really got a hold of me, Nicodemus asked him, he said, How can I be born again? Begin to think about that in terms of our natural body. Then I began to study about bone marrow. Bone marrow is something that is in the hollow of our bones. The bone marrow essentially is what produces the platelets, the red blood cells, and the white blood cells. It's what gives us our DNA. It's what gives us our blood structure and all of our components. And now, remember that our blood is 82% water. And I thought, Lord, well, where does the bone marrow come from? And then I began to read it, and it said that our bone marrow is coming from a stem cell. And I said, well, where does the stem cell come from? And then I found out, then I found out the stem cell comes through the umbilical cord, which is hooked to the mama, which is given to the mother by the father. Amen? And then I said, how are we born again? The father conceives with the church. A baby is born, and we are renewed in new life. We have new blood, new bread, and new water. You see, the Bible's just not written out of happenstance or coincidence. Ain't God good? You see, when I was born again in 1987 at Beulah Baptist Church in Hendersonville, North Carolina, there was a physical, spiritual birth took place. Amen? How many people in here this morning can tell me about the day you were born? You remember that? I don't. You remember it, Roger? Loretta? Sandra, listen, I can't tell you a thing in the world about it. But you know what? I'm standing here to prove that it happened. Amen. My mama and my daddy gave me their last name. My blood runs, listen, their blood now runs through my veins. Amen. Listen, I'm here to tell you this morning, being born again into the family of God is not a fable. It is not a myth. It is not a fairy tale. It is literally, physically being reborn into the family of God. Amen. The Bible said that there is a name that he has in heaven which no man knows save he himself. You know, when he gave me that name in the delivery room, glory to God. The bread, the water, and the blood. What an awesome God we serve. You see, that day when I was born and the umbilical cord was cut, the blood of Christ now flows in my veins. Of that blood which runs in my veins, 82% of that is kingdom water. Amen. 90% of the air that I breathe, because my lungs are 90% water, 100% of the air I breathe is kingdom air. Amen. 100% of the bread that I eat, which I take from him on a daily basis, is filled, listen, with the fruit of the gospel. Friends, listen to me. Being born again is not turning over a new leaf. It's a new life. Don't you want to be saved? Don't you want to be reborn into the family of God? I love that song we sing. I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins. Always sang it because it sounded good, but I'm here to tell you this morning, I sang it because it's the truth. Amen. It's the truth. I have His blood in my veins. He has my soul in His possession. I am no longer mine, but I have been bought and purchased with a price, and Calvary paid the debt that I could not pay. Listen, and when Calvary assumed the debt, and after He was so thirsty, and God filled Him with His righteousness, I'm glad as an 8-year-old boy when I went to Him by faith through grace. He imputed into me His righteousness, which keeps me. Where did He get His righteousness? On Calvary. And now it belongs to me. And one of these days, when this old decrepit, sin-filled body, when it is broken down, when it is done, when it is perplexed with disease, whether it's taken away too short, too long, by whatever ailments, whatever diseases, whatever natural causes, and I stand before a holy and a righteous God, He's not going to recognize me on my own merits, on my own deeds, or the things that I have or have not done, but He's going to recognize me on the righteousness of His Son. People want to tell me about rewards in heaven. That S that we commonly put on rewards is not found in the Scripture anywhere. Amen. People think, well, I'll do this and I'll do this and I'll have more up there. People just ignorant. Amen. Really? Do you really think you can do anything that would really, honestly, truly begin to repay Calvary? No. Don't even begin to think you're going to have more up there because you do good. I'm going to tell you, the only reason I'm going is because of Jesus. And you know what I'm going to get when I get there? I'm going to get a robe. Listen, I'm going to get a robe and a crown. But you know what I'm immediately going to do? I'm going to set it down at His feet and thank Him for eternity, that by His thirstiness and by His righteousness, I now have an eternal home in heaven. Stand to your feet this morning. I don't know your heart. Y'all come on with a song. I don't know your heart this morning. I don't know where exactly you stand with God. But do you want to be born into the family of God? I believed it before this, and you couldn't have talked me out of it. But ever so more, God help and woe be unto those who would take a precious child, who would take an adult and say, repeat after me. Be baptized into the church. Believe what I tell you, and you shall be saved. Because listen, friends, today, what dangerous ground that is. Because what you're doing is providing false adoption. Amen? And when you provide false adoption, when the father comes looking for the child, there will be judgment to pay. Amen? You can't steal His kids. They're His. He said, All that the Father hath given me, I hold in my hand. And he said, I have not lost one. You know, one of these days, I hope today that you're saved. I hope that you're truly born again by the Spirit and by the power of God. The Bible tells us that if death don't find us, that the Lord is coming back in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You know what a twinkle is? A twinkle is 1/10,000th of a second. You know how fast the speed of light is? 144,000 miles a second. It's 76 million miles an hour is how fast the speed of light is. And he said, at the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, which is only a fraction of 144,000 miles a second, it will be the appearing and the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. There'll be no second chances. There'll be no second opportunities. Make your peace calling and election sure while you have time and have opportunity. Sing when you get ready. I don't want to prolong the service this morning, but I tell you what, I feel the presence of God, if I have ever felt it, in his house here this morning. I truly believe this. Somebody needs to be saved here today. Calvary is not wasted. This message is not wasted. And it's not wasted because I preached it. It's not wasted because it's his word. And he said his word would not return unto him void, but it accomplished thereunto where I send it. Would you break down the barriers of pride this morning? I'm going to say this to you, and I want to be honest with you. I'm just going to speak what God has laid on my heart. I don't care if you're a member of Silver City Baptist Church. If you're lost, you need to be saved. I don't care if you know every frog by name. It don't matter if you've been baptized. It don't matter if you've come under the imposition of hands. It don't matter if you've took communion. What matters is that you've been to Calvary. Don't hide under the rock of lies. You see, we hide ourselves under those rocks, don't we? We put them over the top of us. We try and act like somebody else, and we listen real close so we can be like somebody else. But we hide ourselves continually because we know that if we present ourselves too openly, that we will show ourselves. The Bible said in Revelation chapter 6, and I beheld when the sixth seal was open, and behold, the heavens were as darkness, and the sun and the moon became as blood, and the stars fell from heaven as a fig tree when she casteth forth her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll, and the Lord himself revealed himself. And the Bible said, and the rich men and the mighty men and the kings and the high priests and all those from the king's house to the poor man's house. The Bible said they hid themselves in the dens and the rocks and the mountains and said, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits upon the throne, for his great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? I'll tell you who. The redeemed. Because when he appears, I'm going up. Amen. Who shall be able to stand? Do you have what it takes to stand? Are you truly, truly, truly born again? Do you have the royal blood of the Master flowing through your veins? Do you know? Do you know that the river which proceeds out of Calvary's throne, that it sustains you, that it fills you? Do you know that the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ is your sustaining meal on a daily basis? I see, I'm not talking about a might be saved. I'm talking about a no-so saved. Preacher, I know I'm saved. I love getting in the hospital with them older people. And I know it's sad when death comes, but I love, Shannon, don't you? I love walking to a hospital room and taking their hand and saying, "Are you okay?" And they just look at you and say, "I'm ready to go home." There ain't no sense in talking to somebody that's homebound, amen. I'm telling you, when I get ready to go to the house, there ain't nothing going to stop me, amen. One of these days, I'm going to lay my Bible down. I'm going to preach my last message. I'm going to pray my last prayer. And I'm putting my home-going clothes on, John. And I'm going to a place of rest where there's no more death. There's no more sorrow. There's no more crying. There's no more burdens to bear. There's no more hearing aids. There's no more glasses. There's no more Alzheimer's. There's no more cancer. There's no more things that to cripple and break down and take things and precious things from our bodies and from our lives, but I'm going home. Why are you going there, preacher? Because I've been born again. How about you? Sing on. Sing on.